crazy good. That's the series we're in. Things that make you go, hmm. And today it's God talk. It's actually God talking to us. How does he communicate to us? I was thinking when Arby was ministering a little earlier that if we're not careful, we misinterpret events. David's men interpreted the king being in the cave with them as God has delivered him into our hand and we're supposed to kill him and seize the kingdom. That was their interpretation. David's interpretation was, this is a test and we have to honor God's anointed. And if we're not careful, we can misinterpret communication from God. So as I talk today about how does God speak to us, I want you to be careful to not misinterpret events and how he speaks to you. That's a whole nother level of tuning in. That's a whole nother level of listening. That's a whole nother level of double checking. Have you ever jumped to a conclusion and been wrong? Let me rephrase that. Have you ever jumped to a conclusion and been right? Maybe that's the better question. Sometimes when we're interpreting God speaking, we jump to a conclusion and are wrong. And we're safer if we get some counsel. We're safer if we get confirmation, because it is possible to misinterpret. But let's look at Psalms 19. I want to read it in the Message Bible. I think it'll be up there on the screen for you. God speaks to us through creation. And we live in the Northwest, and we get that, right? There's a lot of people that I talk to who say, my church is the woods, it's the river. Well, God is definitely in creation, and we can definitely experience him in creation. But God said, I created a church, and I want you to participate in that, not just go hunt and fish or camp or all that. So creation's awesome, and we definitely connect with something far beyond us when we're out there enjoying creation. Anybody do that? I do that. Sometimes I get out there on those mountains all alone and I'm just going, I am so small. And God who made this is so big. And you ever look at Hubble telescope pictures? You're going, wow, way beyond my ability to see is some of the most beautiful, majestic things out there in the galaxies and in creation. God's amazing. So we can see him. So let's read Psalm 19. It says, God's glory is on tour in our skies. Godcraft on exhibit across the horizon. Madam Day holds classes every morning. Professor Knight lectures each evening. That's just telling us we should be learning from creation morning, day, night. Their words aren't heard, their voices aren't recorded, but their silence fills the earth. Unspoken truth is spoken everywhere. I love how the Message Bible says this. God makes a huge dome for the sun, a superdome. The morning sun is a new husband leaping up from his honeymoon bed. The day-breaking sun, an athlete racing to the tape. That's how God's word vaults across the skies from sunrise to sunset, melting ice, scorching deserts, warming hearts to faith. Every morning, the glory of God is seen. Every day in creation, the glory of God is seen. The revelation of God is whole and pulls our lives together. The signposts of God are clear and points out the right road. The life maps of God are right, showing the way to joy. The directions of God are plain and easy on the eyes. God's reputation is 24 karat gold with a lifetime guarantee. The decisions of God are accurate down to the nth degree. God's word is better than a diamond set between emeralds. You like it better than strawberries in the spring. And King James says, finer than gold and sweeter than honey. That's our God. That's our God. I'm just going to stop there on that reading. But in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, Paul says this, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse." Wow, it says when you look at creation, you can see God. He speaks to you. And you're without excuse to say there is no God, God's not real, God's not involved, God doesn't care, God doesn't love us. You are without excuse. Do not say those things. Do not think those things. God speaks to you, reveals his glory to you, and he demonstrates his care for you every day in creation, every day of your life, every sunrise, every sunset, every storm, every time you see the moon and the stars. You see the beauty of creation, God speaking. Some people worship the creation more than the Creator. Some people misinterpret God speaking, don't they? Some people do that. So through creation, God's shouting to us, I'm here, I'm powerful, and I love you. If you study creation just a little bit, you go, the earth is the perfect distance from the sun, and it's perfectly made, and it's tilted perfectly, and it rotates perfectly to sustain life for us. None of that's accidental. None of that is accidental. That's all very intentional. God saying, I love you. I'm sustaining you. I'm creating an environment you can thrive in. So I hope that you and I, when we see the environment that we live in creation, we can just translate that to some spiritual things too, that God wants to create some spiritual environments for us to thrive in. He wants to create some relationship environments for us to thrive in. And when I say that word relationship, some of you just, you tighten up because you don't have a clue what a relationship environment that you can thrive in feels like. You've experienced the opposite for too long. And God says, I want to create relationship environments. If we would all just treat each other the way the Bible said and just love each other the way God loves us, wouldn't our relationships be very good? I just, every once in a while I read the Bible. I don't know if you guys do, but every once in a while I read that, maybe every day. And God says, this is how you're supposed to treat Kari. This is how you're supposed to treat your children. This is how you're supposed to treat your neighbor. This is how you're supposed to treat your enemies. This is how you're supposed to treat those who persecute you. This is how you're supposed to treat those who are trying to kill you. And the Bible says, let me teach you how to have relationships you can thrive in. And I hope we can translate that really good. What are some other ways God talks to us? Elijah went through a whole ordeal, and it boiled down to God speaks in a still, small voice. It wasn't the earthquake. It wasn't the fire. It wasn't the big storm and the wind. It was the still, small voice. Sometimes it's hard to quiet ourselves enough to hear the still, small voice. Anybody else ever have that problem? Here in a minute I'm going to talk about sometimes God needs to get our attention before he can talk to us. Every once in a while my kids and now my grandkids will just grab me by the side of the face, turn right to them and say what they want to need. I want you to listen to me. I'm trying to talk to you. Maybe Kari does that once in a while too. I'm not sure, but sometimes God has to get our attention to talk to us. Maybe the storm, the earthquake, the fire is the attention grabber so he can talk to us. God sometimes talks in an internal audible message. Sometimes it's a still small voice. Sometimes inside you, it's crystal clear God said something. It's an audible internal wow. Sometimes he speaks in an audible voice externally. When Paul was knocked off his horse, he heard God externally, and everybody with him heard this thunderous noise but couldn't discern what God was saying, but they knew something significant was happening there. Sometimes God speaks to us with mental pictures. Sometimes he speaks to us with encounters. Sometimes he speaks to us with visions. Sometimes he speaks to us in dreams. Not every dream you have is from God, however. Not every vision you have is necessarily from God either, however. Not every encounter, so we have to be discerning, and we'll talk a little bit about that at the end here. Sometimes he speaks to us through our conscience. If you're not careful, your conscience can be seared or cut off. And that inner voice inside of you that God uses to help direct you, you can turn that off if you're not careful. But God wants to speak to you through your conscience. Signs and wonders. Now, we like those. Those are pretty obvious, right? Signs and wonders. Sometimes God speaks to us through pain, right? Maybe that's one of his attention getters occasionally. Maybe we just run ourselves ragged to the point of pain before we're ready to listen. Maybe it's just us. Maybe it's not God at all. Maybe it's just us creating the pain. And we're finally stop and listen long enough to let him redirect us. But he can speak through our pain. Angels. God can send angels. Angels are around us right now. I don't know if you know that, but angels are around you right now. Not just me, but there's others. Invisible. Yeah, some of you got it, yeah. Do you see my halo?
Oh, yeah.
Or my horns? I'm not sure which way it goes, but... But there are invisible angels around you right now. That's cool. Sometimes they materialize and appear, and we get to experience them, and they talk to us. Not all of us, but some really special people. I've never seen an angel. Who's seen an angel? Some of you raise your hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, you lucky dogs. I'd love to. I've asked for them a couple times. Music. Anybody ever let God speak to you through music? Just this last 30 minutes. God's speaking to us through music. The Bible. God speaks to you through the Bible. And there's some ideas in Christianity that's the only way God speaks today. It's not true. He does speak through the Bible, and anything else you hear that doesn't line up with the Bible is not God. The Bible is our standard. It is the book. It is God's word, and it came wrapped in flesh and dwelt among us in the form of Jesus. Jesus is the word. And this is God speaking to us today. What a beautiful gift the Bible is to us. So he does speak through the Bible. Absolutely. Absolutely. Probably 90% of everything you need to hear from God is in the Bible. And if you just read it, it will speak to you. The Holy Spirit will just enlighten things to you. That's an awesome thing. Other books. Sometimes we have a whole bookstore back there full of books. And we offer them to you because God speaks through books. A lot of those books, most of those books are sermons and words from God and revelation from God that he spoke to men and women of our generation and even generations past, and God wants to get them out to the rest of the body of Christ. So I encourage you, buy those books. Buy them all today, and we'll restock the shelves. That's okay. You can do that. You can pay for them right back there at the Information Center. We have a whole bunch of new ones up there, too. So journaling. Anybody journal? God can speak to you while you're journaling. Yeah. I tried to journal. It's not working for me yet. Maybe someday. I don't know. I have 4 or 5 journals started somewhere. God can speak through other people. That's why the body of Christ is so powerful. That God can use me to speak to you, or RB, or you to speak to me, or whatever he wants to do, he can use little children to speak to us. preaching and teaching is really equal to prophecy, God speaking to us. When it's God's rhema word, a word for right now, right here, around here we try to preach and teach the rhema word. The Logos is this book, and that's God's word to us, and it's powerful. But a rhema word is when God says, this is for today, right now, right here. You need this right now. That's why I hate missing church, because church is full of the rhema word of God right here and right now. And if you miss enough church, you miss enough of the rhema word, it's like, man, I'm 20 steps behind now. But God is propelling us forward, church service after church service, life group after life group, meeting after meeting. God propels us forward with the rhema word. And there's lots of other things we could talk about. How does God talk to us? But many times God has to get our attention to talk to us. You guys ever hear about a donkey talking? Remember when old Balaam was just abstinent and going to do his own thing instead of God's thing? And here's an angel standing there with a big sword, and he's going to cut Balaam in two as he comes by. And the donkey could see the angel, and the donkey was more perceptive. How many times has there been a donkey more perceptive than people? Yeah? You know, last week I said a word several times. I told you I was going to be nice today, so I'm just going to keep saying donkey. How many times has a donkey been smarter than people? Now, I'm not using the King James, no. Three times that donkey avoided the angel with the sword, until one time he crushed Balaam's leg against a rock. Balaam had had it. What's the matter with this donkey? And he got off that critter and started beating him. You should never beat your donkey. You can hit him a couple times, but don't beat him mercilessly, you know. Finally, God let the donkey talk. He said, why are you beating me? Have I ever been a bad animal for you? I've always taken you where you wanted to go, and I never went off the trail. But there's an angel with a big sword right there, and I'm trying to save your life. And then God opened his eyes. See, that's things that make you go, right? Really? Donkey's talking. Yeah, really. Sometimes God has to get our attention. I think God got Balaam's attention that day. Balaam, I really meant what I said earlier, and I'm going to reinforce that. The Apostle Paul, his name was Saul of Tarsus. He was a Jew of Jews. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He thought he was doing right, and he was persecuting the New Testament church. And one day, God knocked him off his horse. You ever heard the phrase, knock you off your high horse? That's what God did to Paul. That's probably where it came from. He knocked him off his high horse. How come there's horses in all these stories? Oh, that wasn't what I was thinking, but God bless you. Some of you love horses, I know. But God knocked him off his high horse, and he shone this bright light into his eyes, and then he spoke audibly to him. Now, you're pretty stubborn if God has to do all that to get your attention. There's times God has to get our attention before he can speak to us. Moses one day was just out taking care of the sheep, and all of a sudden there was a burning bush. The bush was burning, but it was not consumed. He's out in the desert. He's probably thinking it's forest fire season. I don't know what's happening here. Whatever's going on, you know. But he goes over to see what's happening, and God speaks to him. So what does God have to do to get your attention? That'll make you go, right there, huh? What does God have to do to get your attention? The absence of God talk is problematic. Between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's a period of time called the 400 years of what? Silence. Simon and Garfunkel wrote a song about that. I don't think it was about the 400 years, but 400 years of silence. Do you know how messed up religion was when Jesus showed up? It was messed up. These scribes and Pharisees and the high priest, they were religious, and they had interpretations and understandings that were a million miles away from the truth. When God is silent, life does not get better. And if you turn God off, if you don't listen to God, life will not get better. It will just continually get worse and worse. If a church quits listening to God, pastors quit listening to God, life gets worse, church gets worse. So when God quits talking, things don't get better. King Saul, Arby talked about him, but when King Saul was first chosen to be king, he was humble, he was willing to do what God wanted, he was obedient when he was first chosen. He actually was anointed as a prophet and prophetic, and he prophesied when the kingly anointing came upon him. He spoke God's words out to his nation, out to his world. Saul experienced that. And then Saul had this guy named Samuel. Samuel was an awesome prophet. Samuel could hear from God so clearly. You can read his initial story as the little boy. Amazing story. And then he just heard from God really clearly, and he spoke so well. And Saul had Samuel. But there came a day when Saul rejected God, and he lost the voice of God speaking in his own life. And then there came, he lost that special anointing, that specialness. And then there came a day when Samuel died. And now Saul needed to hear from God, hungered for a word from God, hungered. But there was no word. You know what he did? He turned to witchcraft, trying to get a word. How many people in our society today turn to witchcraft and turn to all sorts of occultic things? Read your horoscope and see what's going to happen. Yeah, right. And all the other tarot cards and psychics and all of that stuff, Ouija boards and seances, and I don't care if it's white magic or black magic or white witchcraft or black witchcraft. I don't care if it's popular and they have a business open down the road, new agey stuff. People are really hungry for a word, but they're seeking in the wrong places sometimes. So the church better have the Word of God in it. So when people show up here, they're going, wow, God's speaking to me. That's what I've been hungering and thirsting for my whole life. We need to have the Word of God in this place, and our churches need that. So life gets messier and messier in the absence of God talk. We have an enemy, Satan, who is really good at counterfeiting things, isn't he? He loves to counterfeit all the great ways that God would talk to us and the way God would want to connect to us. Satan has counterfeits for all of that. And it is occultic stuff, and I hope you stay away from that. I hope you recognize it for what it is and can help others see that. So life gets messier and messier in the absence of God talk. God wants us to hear him. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. If you would just call unto me, I will talk to you. I will answer you. I will do that. Let's look at John chapter 16. This isn't going to be on the screen because I didn't tell him I was going to use this verse. But John 16, verses 12 and 13, Jesus says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. So Jesus is physically present. He's getting ready to go die on the cross. He's preparing his disciples. He's talking about the Holy Spirit's coming. He's going to send the Holy Spirit. And in this verse, he says, I have a lot more that I need to say to you. There's a lot more God talk that needs to happen. But you cannot bear that or understand that or get it. You couldn't receive it right now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Today, you and I have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit dwells in us, and he's with us. The Bible says you should walk in the Spirit, you should live in the Spirit, you should be filled in the Spirit. Jesus said, it's critical that I go away, because if I don't go away, I cannot send the Holy Spirit to you. Now, Jesus did an amazing job discipling those 12 disciples and then the 70. He did a great job with those guys, but he had to do that physically present with them. But there was a bigger goal in mind. God says, I want to put my Spirit in and on every person for every generation following this, right here and right now. And you and I are still living in that time. It's called the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. We're still living in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. That has not changed. A few people in Christianity would like to say that that was only in the book of Acts, and that changed. But there is no evidence of that changing. In fact, all the evidence is to the contrary. The Holy Spirit and what we see in the book of Acts and what we see taught in the rest of the New Testament is ours for us today. And it is God talk. It is God speaking to us and revealing to us. In Acts 1, 4, and 5, Jesus said, I don't want you to go anywhere. I don't want you to do anything. I want you to go to Jerusalem and wait until you're filled with this power from on high, until you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, then go do my will, then go live your lives, but go get this experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit first. It was critical for his disciples to get that. They were already saved as far as he breathed upon them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. They were already saved. They were already believers. They had already experienced the power of God flowing through their lives. They laid hand on the sick and they recovered. They rebuked demons and they cast them out of people. Remember when they come back? Said, whoa, this is pretty cool. Jesus said, don't be so excited about that necessarily. Be excited that your names are written in the book of life. So it's really about salvation. But after the salvation, he says, now I want you to experience God talk in a way the prophets only dreamed about in the Old Testament, in the way King David only dreamed about in the Old Testament. I want you to know that your body is going to physically be the temple of the Holy Spirit. He's going to dwell inside you. Jesus said in that verse we read in John, I have a lot more I want to say to you, but you can't get it right now. But the Holy Spirit, he's going to explain it all. He's going to show you all of that. So let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. I just want to open your heart a little bit more to who the Holy Spirit is and what he wants in our lives today. God is real. He is talking. He is shouting through creation, saying, I'm powerful. I'm big. I love you. I'm involved. I can sustain you. He's doing that. Down through the Old Testament and the New Testament, God spoke, God loved, God gave. And he's still doing that today. How is he doing it today? He used to speak through prophets and kings. Today, he speaks through prophets still, pastors, evangelists, teachers. He still has this way. But let's look at these gifts of the Spirit. Verse 1 of chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Don't you love how he starts that? I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be ignorant. I've been ignorant lots of times. And when I finally saw the light, oh, praise the Lord, I saw the light. I mean, I was ignorant about mechanicing, and then when I finally figured it out, wait, that was cool, I can do that. I was ignorant about computers, so I finally figured them out. That's cool. When I was really small, I was ignorant about tying a bow in my shoe. That was before Velcro. But I learned to tie my shoe. That was an awesome thing. And then God looks at you and I and he says, you're living in a dispensation of the Holy Spirit. And I'm talking to you in an amazing personal way, and I don't want you to be ignorant of that. I don't want you to be ignorant of that. And then in verse 4, he says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. You're going to see 9 different gifts that he talks about here. And that's expanded in other sections of the Bible too. Those 9 different gifts, you'll see that right here today. There's differences of ministries, but it's the same Lord. In our pre-service prayer today, we prayed for the Nazarene Church, the Woodland Church, and the Pine Ridge Baptist Church that are all looking for pastors. And they're all in this transition time. Yeah, they're different churches. They're not our competition. They're our brothers and our sisters. It's one Spirit and the same body. Different ministries, but one Spirit and one body. And he don't want us to be ignorant of that either. Verse 6 says, there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God that works all in all. The Holy Spirit in me might do something totally different than the Holy Spirit in you. And he might anoint me and call me to do something totally different than what he anoints and calls you to do. But just because you don't do it like I do it, or don't think the way I think, or don't have the abilities that I have, doesn't mean you're less. It doesn't mean you're insignificant, and it definitely doesn't mean you're wrong, because there's different ministries and there's different anointings and there's different activities that the Holy Spirit brings upon. You know, Kathleen does an amazing job with this activity of leading worship. She's anointed for that. Kari's teaching children and leading that department. Every kid that has ever met Kari loves her. I was out at camp yesterday, and they all said, where's Kari? Like, what am I, chopped liver? I didn't actually say that because I didn't want to hear the answer. We have a granddaughter, Seringa, that every time I walk in their house, they go, where's Grandma? And I said, who cares? And she doesn't phase her a bit. She goes, where's Grandma? Papa, where's Grandma? Like, I love you anyway. So we have different things, different activities that we're anointed for. We have like 130 volunteers in this church that help us lead ministry and do ministry. We have different activities, but it's the same Spirit. It's the same Spirit. Verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. The Spirit of God wants to manifest himself in you. He wants to flow out of you. He wants to use you. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And when God speaks through you to us, we all profit. When God uses you at the Life Center or anywhere else in the kingdom of God, we all profit. And each one of us should be experiencing the Holy Spirit in some amazing ways. Verse 8 says, for one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, another faith by the same Spirit, another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Nobody should be left out in the distribution of the gifts of the Spirit. He wants to distribute to each one. I was just thinking, if this sounds super spiritual, but it should be very common. And you might think, well, Paul is writing this to a very spiritual group of people. Oh, you haven't read 1 Corinthians all the way through then, have you? Or 2 Corinthians. These are not a group of super spiritual people. Paul actually said, you got a guy living and sleeping with his stepmom in your church, and you need to do something about that. That's not right. He says, you guys, when you come together for communion, you're a bunch of pigs. You just eat up all the food, and you don't even think about what communion's really about. He says, you guys are so carnal. When you do get a few of the spiritual gifts going, you get operating in the flesh, and you start messing each other up, and you start picking on each other with your supposed gift. And so Paul's just really, this is not a group of super spiritual people that he's writing to, but he's explaining to them, you all should have the gifts of the Spirit, you all should function in the gifts of the Spirit, and you all should experience God talk in you personally and through you to the world around you. See, the church is not any good unless God can flow through us and touch people around us. This is not a container for Christians where we get together and have a little rally every Sunday. That's not what this is. Church isn't for us even necessarily. Church is so that we get healed and strengthened so that God can flow through us and reach the rest of the world. We become his ambassadors. I got to quit. I could just go on and on and on about this stuff. Man, it's good. So Jesus opened up a whole new way for us to experience and hear God when he resurrected and ascended. Those nine gifts, let me just break them down and I'm going to quit. Nine gifts, three to teach you how to act like God, three to teach you how to speak like God, and three to teach you how to think like God. Well, I'm not God. You're not God. No, but God wants us to be more like him, and he wants to share information, share power, and share responsibility with us. He really wants to do that. So the gift of healing, the gift of miracles, and the gift of faith help you and I act more like God. Prophecy, tongues, and interpretation help you and I speak more like God. People are afraid of speaking in tongues. You shouldn't be afraid of it. Speaking in tongues is pretty simple, and it's all over in the New Testament. And it's just simply the Spirit of God praying through you, perfect prayers, perfect intercessions, perfect. And it's pretty simple. It's pretty easy. You shouldn't be afraid of that. Interpretation. Something you have to learn, you know, if that's one of your gifts, but you can learn that, and that's a process. Thinking like God, a word of knowledge. God will give you a piece of knowledge that you had no way of knowing, but you just know that you know that you know. And then God wants you to go use that knowledge to accomplish his will. It's a word of knowledge. A word of wisdom. You don't have the solution. You never studied the solution. You don't have a certificate in the solution, but all of a sudden you have the solution because God says, let me give you wisdom in that situation so we can think like God. And then the discerning of spirits. I should have gullible written on my forehead. I am the most gullible guy on the planet. I really am. I'm gullible. I am totally optimistic. I'm totally idealistic. God give me Kari to help me out with that. I think she's skeptical. She thinks I'm gullible. We make a great pair. But you can have a gift of discerning spirits to where you don't have to be gullible. You know. You pick it up. You just automatically know, oh, there's a spirit going on. There's a spiritual thing going on there. It can be good. It can be bad. It can be, wow, this is a like spirit, and we need to embrace this. And so you would embrace something much earlier than you would otherwise because you just know that. Or you have a caution like, whoop, this is not too cool. It looks good, smells good, but it's not good because you have this discerning of spirits. So it can help you think like God. So we're talking about God talk. And I know this is stuff that can make you go, this is stuff like, really? I just was trying to get to heaven and you're throwing all this on me? You know, I was just trying to get rid of my sin and guilt and now you're telling me all this stuff? I know it can make you go, But do you want to serve this amazing God that created all the things around us, and he's still actively engaged in our world, in our lives, in our generation, and he says, I want to use you and talk to you and talk through you. So yeah, I want to serve that God. I want to serve that God, not some historic God that used to do something, but the God that's doing it right now. And he taps you and I on the shoulder and he says, I want to do it through you. It's your turn. It's your turn. Amen? Amen. God talk. I got to quit. I got to shut up. Your folders. Inside is a connect card. If you want to grab that, we're going to get ready to receive the